dead. The fight that ye so bravely led we've taken up, and we will keep true faith with you who lie asleep with each a cross to mark his bed. Fear not that ye have died for naught. The torch ye threw to us, we caught. 10 million hands will hold it high. Freedom's light shall learn the lesson that ye taught. On Margaret, 1935, they had no idea what was coming. 1941, this day he has a vanity license plate on his vehicle that reads, V.F. Ace. Little girl who stood in the schoolhouse window, 35, graduate, mama made bullets. Her uncle, my great uncle, took in the army and was thrown a rifle at Bastogne. He stopped living at Bastogne. Father's brother, 7th Army, I believe, shrapnel wound to the knee and subversion to the main. We have since learned that even though all the penicillin had been diverted to the main force moving Normandy eastward. I'll be honest with you, tears came to my eyes when monks from the swift boat veterans for remember. And there's a lot more here. Stuff that we remember war in different ways. Probably the first memorial to a veteran that who else? Shakespeare, King Henry V, Act 4, Scene 3. We are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss, and if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will. Baby, wish not one man more. By Jove, I am not covetous for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my cost. It yearns me not if men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul alive. No, faith, my cuz, wish not a man from England. God's peace. I would not lose so great an honor as one man more, methinks, would share from me for the best hope I have. Oh, do not wish one more. Rather proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when the day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors to say, tomorrow, Saint Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget. All shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups. Freshly, this story shall the good man teach his son. Shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We end of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed. They were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap. While Zenny speaks that fought with us upon Crispin's Day. The Great War, World War I, the war to end all wars. Untold contemplation. Wilfred Owen pretty much nailed it down. Bent double, like old beggars under sacks. Knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge till on the haunting flares we turned our backs and towards our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots but limped on bloodshod. All went lames, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of tired, outstripped 5-9s that dropped behind. Gas! Gas! Quick, boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time, but someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime, dim through the misty panes and thick green light as under a green sea. I saw him drowning in all my dreams. Before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you too could pace behind the wagon we flung him in and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face like a devil's, sick of sin, if you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues. My few would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie. Dulce et decorum est pro patria mori. It's all art. You may talk of gin and beer when you're quartered safe out here and you're sent to penny fights and Aldershot it. But when it comes to slaughter, you will do your work on water and you'll lick the blooming boots of him that's got it. Now, in Inge's sunny clime, where I used to spend my time a-serving of Her Majesty the Queen, of all them black-faced crew, the finest man I knew was our regimental bestie, Gunga Dean. He was, "Dean! Dean! Dean! You limping lump of brick dust, Gunga Dean! Oi, Slippery! Hit her out! Water! Get it! Bunny low! You squidgy-nosed old idol, Gunga Dean." The uniform he wore was nothing much before, and rather less than half of that behind. For a piece of twisty rag and a goatskin water bag.
Head on.
Hey, look. It's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really? Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now from Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
Little Timmy Kelly's premature birth left him walking. Then his parents found health and homeowners combine expert orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical day. Timmy lives a full and active life. There's a nurse hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Slight threat of showers and storms tonight, down to 65, and tomorrow that threat continues. Otherwise, just a few clouds, 82. Wednesday, partly cloudy, a stray shower or storm in 78. I'm meteorologist Stephanie DeLuca from the Weather Channel.
WNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We shouted, "Harry boy!" till our throats were bricky dry. Then we whopped him because he couldn't serve us all. It was Dean! 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 "You heathen, where the mischief have you been? You put some jewelry in it or I'll marrow you this minute if you don't fill up my helmet, Gunga Dean." He would dock and carry one till the longest day was done, and he didn't seem to know the use of fear. If we charged a broke or cut, you could bet your bloomin' nut he'd be waiting 50 paces right flank rear. With his mussick on his back, he would skip with our attack and watch till the bugles made retire. And for all his dirty-eyed, he was white, clear white inside, when he went to tend the wounded under fire. It was Dean! Dean! Dean!
With the bullets kicking dust spots on the green when the cartridges ran out, you could hear the front file shout, "Oh, ammunition mules and Gunga Din!" I shan't forget the night when I dropped behind the fight with a bullet where my belt plate should have been. I was choking mad with thirst, and the man that spied me first was our good old grinning, grunting Gunga Din. He lifted up my head, and he plugged me where I bled, and he gave me half a pint of water green. It was swollen, and it stunk, but of all the drinks I've drunk, I'm gratefulest to one. Din! Here's a beggar with a bullet through his spleen. He's chawing up the ground and he's kicking all around. For God's sake, get the water, Gunga Din. He carried me away. Told it come and drilled the beggar clean. Put me safe inside. Died. I hope you like your drink. Says, I'll meet him later on. Where it's always double drill and no canteen. He'll be squatting on the coals, giving drink to poor damned souls. In hell, from Gunga Din. Yes, Din. You Lazarusian leather Gunga Din. Oh, I've belted you and flayed you, but a living God that made you. Good old Carl Sandburg. Buttons. I've been watching the war map slammed up for advertising in front of the newspaper office. Buttons. Red and yellow buttons. Blue and black buttons are shoved back and forth across the map. A laughing young man, sunny with freckles, climbs a ladder, tells a joke to somebody in the crowd, and then fixes a yellow button 1 inch west, and follows the yellow button with a black button 1 inch west. 10,000 men and boys twist on their bodies in a red soak along a river edge, gasping of wounds, calling for water, some rattling death in their throats. Who would guess what it costs to move 2 buttons 1 inch on the war map? Here in front of the newspaper office where the freckle-faced young man is laughing to us. And my part, quite frankly, one of the noblest stories which I am aware, quite possibly the greatest hero West Virginia has ever produced. By direction of the President, under the joint resolution of Congress approved 12 July 1862, amended by by Act of 3 March 1863, Act of 9 July 1918, and Act of 25 July 1963, the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty is awarded posthumously by the Department of the Army of Congress to Corporal Thomas W. Bennett. Distinguished himself during the period 9 to 11 February 1969, serving as a platoon medical aid man with the 2nd Platoon Company during a reconnaissance in force mission in the Chupa Province, Republic of Vietnam. On 9 February, the platoon was moving to assist the 1st Platoon of Company D, which had run into a North Vietnamese ambush, when it became heavily engaged by the intense small arms, automatic weapons, mortar and rocket fire from a well-fortified and numerically superior enemy unit. In the initial barrage of fire, 3 of the point members of the platoon fell wounded. Corporal Bennett, with complete disregard for his own safety, ran through the heavy fire to his fallen comrades, administered life-saving first aid under fire, and then made repeated trips carrying the wounded men to positions of relative safety. Corporal Bennett repeatedly braved the intense enemy fire, moving across open areas to give aid and comfort to his wounded comrades. He valiantly exposed himself to the heavy fire in order to retrieve the bodies of several fallen personnel. Throughout the night and following day, Corporal Bennett moved from position to position, treating and comforting the several personnel who had suffered shrapnel and gunshot wounds. On 11 February, Company B again moved in an assault on the well-fortified enemy positions and became heavily engaged with the numerically superior enemy force. 5 members of the company fell wounded in the initial assault. Corporal Bennett ran to their aid without regard to the heavy fire. He treated one wounded comrade and began running toward another seriously wounded man. Although the wounded man was located forward of the company position covered by heavy enemy grazing fire, and Corporal Bennett was warned that it was impossible to reach the location, he leaped forward with complete disregard for his own safety to save his comrade's life. In attempting to save his fellow soldier, he was mortally wounded. Corporal Bennett's conspicuous gallantry, undaunted concern for his comrades, intrepidity at the cost of his own life above and beyond the call of duty. Or if I were to say anything, I'd say there were maybe a father and on his community. You want to read more about him, there's a book called Peaceful Patriot, and you are, any of you have probably never heard of him. And secondly,
you said it was your duty, your to fulfill. You joined the peacetime army. It's no longer a drill. Take a look around. If you have any doubts, to free the world from tyranny, that's what this is about. And it's true, it's gonna take some time.
Head on.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. West Virginia legislators were told today that computer and telephone systems that cannot communicate with each other and outmoded technology within government.
You know, in little of your opinion, you hold to a standard.
Al Schaefer.
His Veterans Day of technology ceremony in Beckley, his Sergeant Steve Workman keep his mind worth the effort. 19 crosses performance stream.
He says the state
even since then about this wartime memory state stand had exposed storms tomorrow. Your stocks
in the way to collect for the public consultant governor who will your one label.
My name is the Court of Appeals case last year because they listened to Oldberg is that four major 5 months to receive for example according to a new institution
institute rang up more than $1,000 state issued cell phones, raising concerns that abuse of mobile phones may be widespread in state government. An audit of the institute's mobile phone charges was conducted after investigators last month found former director Bill Charnock had made up to $933 in personal calls on his state cell phone. There's currently no law that would make private landowners pay a fee to hunt on their own property, but if such legislation is proposed, the State Farm Bureau stands ready to oppose it. Current law exempts farmers and other private landowners from having to pay to hunt on their property as long as they follow the law and do so during prescribed seasons. There has been some talk about imposing a license fee for private landowners, probably one smaller than that assessed on regular hunters, but Les Shoemaker with the Farm Bureau says they don't want that to happen. Fayette County Senator Shirley Love is also opposed to any license fee for private land, especially if it limits the acreage where they can hunt. For this evening, cloudy, muggy, showers and thunderstorms again, then tonight partly cloudy, later on with a low near 64. Tomorrow, the same thing, showers and thunderstorms, warm, humid, showers and thunderstorms mostly in the afternoon, partly cloudy with a high near 83, and then for tomorrow night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but by Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms will move in and a cold front moves in. Partly cloudy Wednesday, high 77, but Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers with a low near 58. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
In a letter to AFL-CIO, President John Sweeney, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, says the labor status quo will not stand and that major reform is essential.
We are committed to change, and we will not accept more of the same for the future.
UFCW's Greg Denier says that the reform unions, which also include the Teamsters, SEIU, Unite Here, and the laborers, are serious about reform but want a united labor movement to build worker power. So are these unions about to disaffiliate from the Labor Federation?
I don't want to say whether people will disaffiliate or not at this point, because I think we should focus on how we build a reformed and united movement.
With the AFL-CIO convention set for July, Denier was asked if a split from the Labor Federation is likely before then.
I believe that the UFCW and other reform unions are committed to going to the convention. And
the UFCW wants Sweeney to create a new mechanism to refocus resources on organizing and building worker power in core industries and to implement a new governance structure for the AFL-CIO, limiting its functions. Denier says the UFCW is not condemning the past work of John Sweeney.
Not that what people did in the past was wrong, it's that the world has changed and we have to change with it.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney responded to Hansen with his own letter. added that unions threatening to leave the Federation, leadership of the Service Employees International Union, adopted resolutions that would allow the organization's executive committee if they deemed the time is right. The decision was made because the AFL-CIO also reads that the goal of labor should be uniting the 9 out of 10 work that calls for comment to the AFL-CIO's community. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While the gap between CEO and worker pay continues to expand, the report says those executive pay raises are more closely linked. CEO bonuses increased by 20% last year, a trend that shows while CEOs are pulling in more, that income is more.
Been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, Bob?
Yes.
I went to the Veterans Day parade today.
Oh, really?
And I'm very proud of the veterans.
As are we all.
Well, my father was one.
Indeed.
And they fought in a war that should have been.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that the people that turned out today, you know, they didn't turn out to stop this war.
Was there a good turnout today?
Oh, there were about 1,000 people.
That's wonderful.
And they're very, I'm so proud of veterans, you know, I love them all.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I know.
This war was a lie.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, what needs to be understood is that while we oppose this war, you have to honor everybody who, you know, the ordinary men and women, the boots on the ground, as we like to say, Wesley, they deserve our honor, they deserve our respect. And you know what? And you know what they deserve as much or more than anything else? They deserve, when they come home, our full and wholehearted support, don't they?
They deserve the better, you know, the benefits of the Veterans Hospital, which they're not getting.
Right.
And they deserve a lot of things that they're not getting.
Yeah. Well, for instance, a majority of America's homeless. Heard this on ABC News this afternoon.
Our veterans.
They're Vietnam veterans, and we don't think it's worth our tax dollars to help them. We don't have enough beds for them in the hospitals. We don't care enough to put a roof over their head. And you know, I'm glad 1,000 people showed up today. I think it's fitting and proper. You know, dulce et decorum est. But the fact of the matter is, we need to support them and offer them our reverence and our gratitude 365 days a year. And George Bush going and putting a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier does not make up for the fact that he will not adequately fund what these people need. He will not, and there is not even a care, Wesley, for the fact of these people who are coming home from Iraq with their lungs full of depleted uranium dust.
Bobby, he went to the hospital the other day to visit a ward.
I know.
And he didn't visit the right one.
Really?
Well, the ones, you know, where the legs is, you know, happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, it's all a forest, you know. The psychiatric ward.
Yeah.
It's 54. The ward 54.
Mm-hmm.
The people that has really been over there, you know, too long, too much. 45% of our people over there right now is National Guard reserves.
Right.
They're not trained army or anything else. They don't have the protection. They didn't have it to begin with, you know.
Right. Well, you know, and all that noise was made during the campaign. Oh, Senator Kerry voted against that 87. Well, you know, they got the 87 million, Wesley. Why did the soldiers have to go over there with unarmored Humvees and without the appropriate body armor that they needed? Why were some soldiers in the desert being rationed one? Can you imagine living in 120 degree heat and getting 1 liter of water per day? And you know, I didn't read that on some wacky website. I got that from a soldier's mouth who was over there.
I came back.
Yeah.
Yes, I spoke to one right here in Beckley.
You know,
matter of fact.
I think, you know, there are so many things that we owe our veterans. And one of them is to not use them callously, right, Wesley?
Yes. I have a uniform in my closet right now.
Mm-hmm.
From a veteran.
Yeah. And oh, just, there's so many things that are so wrong.
Well, the thing, you know, the other thing is Social Security.
Right.
How long, you know, within 24 hours after Yes, the guy that got a, you know, elected, you know.
Right, right.
You know, the White House.
Sure.
He went straight after Social Security. He's going to privatize it.
Oh, yeah, I've got the story right here.
I talked to an old fellow today, 70 years old, that voted for Bush.
Hmm.
Well, little does he realize, you know, if they privatize it, who in their right mind is 25 years old? Is going to, you know, is going to invest their money. If I was 25, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean,
you know, in other words, if they put them, you know, if they leave it up to the people who's 25 and 30 years old, or 35, say, well, who's going to pay the difference? You know, if money's not coming in to pay the old people, which is probably getting $400 or $500 a month or something like that, you know, if you was 30 years old, Bob.
I know. And
you know, they're not going to do it.
Well,
privatize it.
The hole that George Bush is proposing creating in Social Security, Wesley, is $2 trillion wide. That's trillion with a T. That's almost half of the surplus we had before he took office in 2000. And, yeah, the question you ask is dead on, head on, how are we going to fill that $2 trillion hole? That's a big hole, Wesley.
Where's the money going to come from?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to believe in a tooth fairy when I was 10 years old. If I put a, you know, tooth under my pillow, but tooth fairy, you know, that's Santa Claus is not going to bring it. So we're, you know, to shore it up, you know.
And Halliburton's certainly not going to give any of that money we've given him back to fill that $2 trillion hole.
Well, Enron might do.
Yeah, you still believe in the tooth fairy, don't you, Wesley?
Making a joke.
Oh, I know.
That's just something. And the old fellow, you know, he'd actually voted for Bush. And I said, well, you know, Bob, getting Social Security, they can't touch it.
Right.
Sure.
Sure
they can.
They sure can. And, you know, the gall of the man, the day after, the very day, almost the day after. Yeah, it was the day after, wasn't it?
He said, within 24 hours.
I'm going to spend my political capital, and I'm going to privatize me some Social Security.
That's his priority. No, he don't call it privatize. He says modernize.
Yeah, well,
way with words. Don't they have a way with words? Modernize.
Oh, sure. You know, and
like Medicare.
Well, that's like when we talk about global warming. You'll never hear one of these people say global warming. They'll say climate change. And you know that's supposed to be much more palatable to the American ignorant who don't bother to look beyond their pronouncements.
Sure. And only you know, look at the percentage that voted in Raleigh County.
Mm-hmm.
18,000 people in Raleigh County was registered, did not vote, Republican or Democrat.
Oh, I know. And, of course, I said a week ago that this wasn't so much an election as an IQ test.
Well, they had a chance, you know. They can't use an excuse, you know, that I couldn't go on Tuesday because, you know, my grandmother got sick and I had to take her to the doctor or something.
Right.
You know?
No.
They had early voting and everything else. So 18,000
yes,
people either didn't care or, you know, if not, Republican or Democrat, they could have voted independent. They could have voted any way they wanted to. But early voting, absentee ballots. So 18,000 people that was eligible.
Took a powder on it. Yeah. So.
Who's running our country now? I mean, you know. I mean, not the voters.
Well, the inmates are in charge of the asylum, I'm afraid, Wesley. You know what I mean?
Well, go along with it, Bob. I mean, you know, for the next 4 years, that's. You know, just
yeah, but there is a beauty in this. For the next 4 years, they got the House, they got the Senate, they got the White House, they got the Supreme Court, and the one thing they don't have is anybody else to blame.
Right. Exactly.
So it's you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty hard to blame Bill Clinton 2 years from now when the economy collapses. Don't you?
They blamed him for everything else.
Yeah.
You know, this is the White House is you know that they blamed everything on everybody else. George Bush is not, you know, he didn't know anything about these assaults, you know, at the prisons over in, you know, he didn't know anything about anything. He blamed everything on everybody else.
And now the guy who wrote the "It's okay to torture him if you want to, who cares about the Geneva Convention" memo.
He's our next Attorney General.
Yeah, and you want me to give you, here's another one that's going to give you cold sweats. Take a run at this one, see how you like it, Wesley. Supreme Court Justice John Ashcroft. I don't know. I'd put a buck on that at Harris in Reno.
Well, he ran against when he ran for office. I mean, a dead man, you know.
Yeah, but you know,
they liked the dead man more than they did him. So you know, nothing surprises me with. How about Karl Rove for president?
No. We don't. We'll let him run George Bush's life, but we don't elect geeks. And that guy is a geek of the first order. He could never be elected. But no, seriously,
Bob, you got to admit he's a genius when it comes to, you know, politics.
Oh yeah, he's a genius when it comes to scaring people. But you know, it doesn't take a lot of genius to scare the American people.
You know,
people.
In West Virginia, they put out pamphlets here. I live in Raleigh County.
Mm-hmm.
That said that the Democrats is going to ban your Bible.
Oh, I know. I was.
And they picked different parts of the country.
Well, that was Arkansas and West Virginia. Yeah, how interesting. They send it to the two hillbilly states.
For that one. In Chicago, they put things on windshields in certain neighborhoods that said, if you go to vote and you have a speeding ticket, they'll take you to jail. And, you know, just...
Yeah, they did that in Philadelphia, too. You're right. Hey, Wesley, we got to hit the break, but I sure do appreciate
okay,
it, man.
Hey, buddy. I appreciate talking to you.
Hey, Bob. You take care. Good to hear from you. Bye. All right, let's take a quick break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
At the time, there were three little bears.
Very difficult. This is the story. Amazing.
Website host.
Log on and learn network.
Where do you get 50% and more for your
11 minutes with
city. And it doesn't matter. To do so, we coordinated the efforts of 95 providers, 11 partners, and 8 different funders.
No, let's go back to the phones and begin.
We helped thousands of
minutes before 8 o'clock. Rolling.
And it still doesn't matter. The number of centers and services doesn't really matter. What matters are the children now with a chance and families now with a future.
Hey, honey, breakfast is ready.
Coming, honey.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
252-6200 is the local number. Yeah, and let that be a lesson to you. I'll give you worse if you do it again. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And let's go back to the phones and Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
One thing that bears mention about the Social Security
mm-hmm.
is that when he says privatize, it's not like nobody's not going to put no more money in the picture.
No, it's a chunk of the money. It's a
you
portion.
You can put up to half of your contribution into the stock market or a diversified, it's going to be a diversified, there's not going to be people, this is a long-term thing, your investment. It's not meant for you to get up in the morning and, oh, I wonder how it's doing today. This is something that's supposed to be in there for 25 years, and you can only take half of your contribution. Your employer still puts the whole thing in, and you put a quarter, so at the very least, 75% is still going to go in Social Security, and it says you can. It does not say you must. A lot of people are going to say, I don't want to do that. I want to let the government take care of my money. But one other thing that's a lot more important than this is this national sales tax scheme.
Oh, that's a Ponzi scheme.
You heard any of us talk about that?
Yes, I have.
You heard it?
Oh, mercy.
Zero tax on business?
Right. See, that's the trick, and I haven't got. Thank you. I'm glad you brought it up, Jeff.
I called you a couple times before the show come on because I want you to do a show about it. I mean, me and Steve is buddies and all, but I don't believe we agree on this.
Well, exactly, and you hit the nail on the head because again, Jeff, it's the language. You got to pay attention to the language. These people, when they say climate change, they mean global warming. When they say Cross Ridge mining, they mean mountaintop removal. And when they say, you got to pay attention, consumer sales tax. That's you and me. That's the lower class. That's the middle class. That is not, you know, when U.S. Steel sells some steel to Great Big Building Corporation of America, guess
it's
what?
Free.
They're not. Yeah, right.
There's no tax on it. That's,
sure.
I mean, that can't work.
Well, I
told him this morning. I said, you know, and he said, well, then they could. The cost of producing the goods and the cost of, like, transporting fuel, the trucks and things like that, and everything would be cheaper. And the price of goods would be cheaper, but they're not going to pass all that savings on to us. And I said, well, why don't we, here's my fair tax scheme. I think we ought to let the middle class have no tax. And then we'll be getting all of our full $6-$8 an hour, and we'll take it out and spend it, and then the companies will have to hire millions of people to produce all the goods that we're all of a sudden buying that we couldn't before. And then we'll tax the companies will pay more profit tax. You know what I mean? It works the same. It's just as fair for one as it is the other, is it not?
You're killing me, Jeff. I'm going to stick my head in that bucket of lye, pluck my eyeballs out, and run screaming off a cliff, okay? How can you come across with something so reasonable? And I'm sorry, I'm calling you on this, man. How can you come across with this reasonable stuff, the stuff that is espoused by my party, and do what you did last week?
Well,
damn.
We wasn't talking about this before the election.
Well, Well, I do have a little secret for you.
Yeah.
The national sales tax.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. Mm-hmm. They have been talking about this from time immemorial, there are very few constitutional scholars of any merit whatsoever in this country, Jeff, who think it could pass constitutional muster.
It has to pass three-quarters majority or something, though.
Well, no. The Constitution sets out the very nature of what taxation will be constitutional in this country, because at the time they framed the Constitution, they were still a little bit touchy about taxes, among other things, because they'd been through that whole, what was it, no taxation without representation thing. They were still a little touchy about stamps on this and stamps on that. I hate to plug anybody else's show, especially a show that doesn't run on this network, but I was down in Charleston yesterday, and I was coming home and listening to that crazy little fascist Neil Bortz out of Atlanta. Apparently, if we can just get a national sales tax, Neil Bortz turns into a genie, or everything is sunshine
They're
and daisies
for
him.
They're talking about it in Charleston, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's a syndicated guy. He's out of Atlanta. But he's, he's as hot for that national sales tax as John Ashcroft is for a bottle of Crisco.
Plus, the thing was made, well, you got these guys, the comment was made, well, you have these people sitting beside the road running flea markets and selling stuff. And I said, well, poor old Homer over here is going to sell windmills and wishing wells beside the road and make $50 on a good day and be able to, and not have to pay tax on it. So we're going to stick it to Homer. And we're going to let General Motors and Walmart buy with nothing.
Jeff,
Homer don't deserve a break.
Jeff, that's how they think. You've got to know history in order to understand what these people are doing to us. The first thing that Ronald Reagan did when he took office was to sign into law the taxation of the tips on waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this guy was a guy who cut taxes. There's a lot of strychnine laced Kool-Aid involved with all of this, you understand?
And I said, the main reason we still use pennies is because if we did away with them pennies and went to all fives and zeros, they'd round everything up and they know it. It costs more than a penny to mint a penny.
Yes.
And, we'd like to get rid of that. We're losing money on pennies, but we can't do it because businesses will round everything. And I'm not, I'm not anti-business.
No.
I'm honestly fair.
I
try to stay in the middle. I don't like to.
Jeff, I remember as a teenager, I got to travel to Italy. And nothing stunned me quite so much as when I handed over, the Italian money. It looked like cocktail napkins.
Yeah.
So I handed over a couple of cocktail napkins and I got some coins back and a couple, and it wasn't an even number, so they gave me telephone tokens. Now, here I am, a 16-year-old American in Rome, and I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to call? So I've got these. But that's what they did. They gave you telephone tokens when you had uneven change.
Well, I think that the Social Security thing isn't quite as, it's solvent. I've seen on TV today, it's solvent until 2018 for one. And the most that could be diverted away is a quarter.
Well, I understand
that,
but that's...
A lot of people are going to say, I want to do that.
But a quarter of Social Security is a big old hole.
Yeah.
And the other thing you have to remember, Jeff, is that this stuff is not being socked away for somebody's heirs. This is working-class America's money. and they are going to have the right to draw the benefit of it.
But they're only going to be allowed 3/4 of the total benefit that they have coming through.
So what? But no, that money they put into the stock market, into these funds.
That's theirs.
That's theirs. But, and this is a huge but, you know, this is like a Jennifer Lopez but. What's going to happen in 25 years when they retire and everybody sells in the market? I mean, you understand the laws of supply and demand, right?
Yeah. When everybody's wanting to sell, they're not going to want to give you nothing for it.
Guess what? Now all that money you just down a rat hole, you know?
You was on the megaphone yesterday?
Yeah.
Do you have hair?
It's, well, whitish blonde.
I think I've seen you. You're a pretty big old boy, ain't you?
I'm not fat.
Well, I mean, pretty good size.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I was just wondering.
Lilliputian, I'm not. I mean, I'm about 6'1", 6'2".
I was just trying to imagine the face behind the voice.
Yeah, that was me in the dark glasses.
That's about what I imagined you looking like.
Well, I hope that's a good thing, Jeff.
Well, we disagree a lot.
Sometimes I think less than maybe apparent, but. You gotta pay attention, Jeff. I mean, you're figuring it out, but, you know, after the guy has taken $100 from you in the 3-card Monte game, it's a really rotten time to realize you've been conned.
That national sales tax thing, man, if we was to do that and that didn't work, and, you know, the national debt, if we ever do plan on paying that off, you know what? Total receipts, you know, like say, I've heard everything from 23% to 30%.
Yeah.
Our economy is a $10 trillion economy. So let's say 30%, $3 trillion. The government spends way more than $3 trillion.
Sure.
If the numbers don't add up.
No, they don't.
That sales tax would have to be 60-65%.
It's voodoo. Hey Jeff, we're out of time, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll see you.
All right, man.
Bye now. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you want a Ponzi scheme? Try the national sales tax on for size. I mean, heavenly days. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. We'll take a little break. Come back, 252-6200-800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United Way helped provide shelter to over 5,808 homeless people in and it doesn't matter. To do so, we worked with scores of local businesses and government and community leaders. And it doesn't matter. Together with hundreds of volunteers, contractors, and tradespeople, we put a roof over their heads. And it still doesn't matter. It's not the places per se that really matter. What matters are the new leases on life within them.
Dad, it's the Nolans.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring the results that matter where you live.
We're getting settled.
What matters?
Daddy, I think Bullet wants to go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner enough. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at 4, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist. I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, boy.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. They're under 4'9". They need a...
They can spit that cat out this instant!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Club.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3 rugs out of gangs and in some membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day another for the Boys and Girls Clubs. The positive place.
To learn more, call 1-800-854-CLUB.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
All new 2005 Tacoma. We are in Bullion.
WWNR. Welcome back, 6 minutes.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this, chilly little uptown Beckley kind of night. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967 to get in touch here with Head On. And WWNRNewsTalk620.com is the internet address screen. Let's go straight back to the phones. And Gary, who was so patient, he waited all the way through the news, and I appreciate it. Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
I'm doing great.
I was listening to the mowing, or you might know it as the mow run.
You're mean, you know that? You're just mean.
That guy makes me want to puke every time I turn the radio on. I can't figure it out. I'm supposed to be a conservative, but I'm supposed to be someone on the left of Lennon, and you make more sense than he does to me.
Oh, don't do that to me, Gary.
Well, I don't really blame him, though. I mean, he got his air supply cut off by Don Blankenship. You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, stop it.
Hey,
you're going to get me in trouble.
Does anybody ever stop to consider that, you know, on this value-added tax, rich people typically spend only a fraction of what they make. Bill Gates is making $2 or $3 billion a year. What he makes to live actually buys.
No, I mean, have you've seen that old Richard Pryor movie, Brewster's Millions, where he has to spend $1 million and he can't get anything in return for it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, George Soros, my man, could spend all day long and not touch it. And yeah. Frankly, no. But the idea that, well, you know, again, consumer sales tax.
Well, it's a very, very regressive tax because most people will be taxed on every dollar that they make.
Right.
And most of the wealthier people, I mean, their taxation will stop at, you know, 5% or whatever.
Well,
I don't see how anybody could ever take an idea like that seriously.
Well, and the other thing is, if they think they're going to eliminate everything else, I mean, if anybody thinks that, you know, man, I tell you, it's hard. The fact of the matter is, you know, you're still going to have your state property taxes and your county property taxes, and you're still going to have everything in place there.
Well, I would like to actually see just one way why, because then people would realize that they're contributing at least 50% of what they make to keep this
country. Well, you know, there are, and you know, there are societies in Europe that straight out give up half of what they make, but they get something for it.
Well, exactly, they get something for it. I don't know what we get for it in this country. I tell you what we get a bunch of projects and stuff. You went to school in Morgantown. Are you familiar with 847?
Oh, yeah.
You know how windy and curvy and...
way too well.
And it's a major, major truck route.
Sure it is.
I mean, they've got hundreds of trucks go down there every day. Now, it goes right up there to the Pennsylvania line, and Pennsylvania built a modern turnpike all the way down to the state line.
Isn't it... Now, 847, isn't that the one that... What is that? It goes up to Point Marion or...
It goes up toward Uniontown.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exit 10 off 68.
Right.
Well, you know, that's a major, major truck route, and they could really stand to extend that Pennsylvania stop here at the state line for some reason. But people that want to build these parkways and stuff over top of people that...
Order H.
Yeah, I mean...
The road to nowhere.
It doesn't make any sense. There are places where we could desperately use roads.
Yeah.
And 35 is another good one. Goes out of Hurricane up through there. I mean, it's...
You absolutely are. And, well, consider my plight. You know, can you hear me suffering? From where I live, if I want to go to Charleston, I have no choice, Gary. I go down 60. I go down Gauley Mountain. I go through Gauley Bridge, Glen Ferris, Boomer, Smithers, all of that.
Well, it's not a great road, you know, but, I mean, people use that road. That's a heavily traveled road.
Yeah, it is. And
well, why don't they upgrade things like that instead of... It just seems like they just want to lay down as much pavement as they can.
Yeah, well, you know, the old story of I-64, back when it was first, you know, not the first bit of asphalt had been poured, I-64 was supposed to go over, and I don't know if anybody even remembers this anymore, it was supposed to come out of Charleston, and man, what a direct route it was. It was supposed to come out of Charleston, run out of Kanawha County, run into Fayette County. It would have gone right over my Uncle Gordon's farm at Horseshoe.
Uh-huh.
Which is on the Gauley River, and it would have gone that direction. Instead, they right through the middle of Charleston, and then married it up with the turnpike.
Yeah. Well, I almost think we've got enough roads out there, really.
Well, we've got roads in some places. We've got roads in the wrong places, Gary. I mean, consider for instance, what are four of the poorest counties in West Virginia? Lincoln, Roane, Calhoun, and Wirt.
Yeah.
And what do those four counties have in common? It's like the post office in Brooklyn. You can't get there from here.
Well, if you try going to Monroe County.
Well, sure. Yeah, you're right.
But that's a great thing because those people down there, they don't want these big roads.
Well, no, they don't. But consider that what we were going to spend billions on the Lincoln County Intergalactic Spaceport. But we weren't, you know. But they weren't going. That was the only way they were going to get any roads. You know, you want to bring industry to. Have you ever been to Grantsville?
I probably have been everywhere at least once.
You can't get there. You cannot get there without taking your life in your hands.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do we want to urbanize the whole United States of America? You know that song, Almost Heaven, West Virginia? They want to destroy that. Why can't we say that if you want to live in a big city, go to Columbus, go to Charlotte, go to, why do you want to pave the whole state of West Virginia? I just don't understand it.
Well, I don't either. And you know, in decisions made in places where they had the opportunity to have the interstate come through, and they said, no, don't do it. We don't want to become a bedroom community to Charleston.
I mean, there are people that like cities. They love them. Like Steve O'Brien, I've done told him personally, why don't you just move right back to where your people came from? And he tells me all the time that he's a born and bred. Everybody doesn't know where New River came from or goes to. Is not
go again.
That guy, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm really getting upset.
Yeah, now you got to wash your mouth out with Octagon soap, okay?
He just gets me so upset. I mean, he absolutely does not know what he's talking about on anything. The other day he was talking about hydrogen, how hydrogen was going to save us all. Well, if he'd just get on the Internet and just look up a little bit of hydrogen, he'd find that right away. That's not the way it's going to be.
Berg, anyone? I don't want a hydrogen-powered car.
Well, it's totally impractical. It takes more energy to make it than
exactly.
You get out of it, for one thing. I mean, without going into all the details about it. But I don't know. He just never knows what he's talking about, but he thinks he knows. He has to eat his words a lot, though. I will say that.
Well, you know, the thing you've got to, I mean, and this, Ed Gehrig, we are facing a paradigm shift.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. It really is.
And the question is what we do about it.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do about it. We're not going to do nothing until there will be some individuals that will do something on a personal level. But by and large, society is going to be, totally unaware. And really, it's their own fault because they don't want to know.
I mean, if I was building a new house, I'd hell and high water to make sure that thing was solar heated. To make sure that it, you know, not just solar cells, but, you know, the radiant solar, water, heat, everything.
Well, look up Earth ships on the net, and they've been building for 28 years now. Houses.
Never to write a check to the...
Well, these aren't even solar homes. What they do is if you go down, like, about 4 or 5 feet underground, the Earth stays...
Cellar temperature. We're brewers, man. We know the temperature of a cellar.
If you can get that up into your house, and they've got ways to do that, then the technology's there to do it, but why in the world... the government isn't getting behind this and, you know, building some demonstration projects and telling people, hey...
Well, we tried that once, Gary, but we got told that the people who were behind it were against family values.
Well...
I'm not kidding.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Bob, but, I mean, we need to throw all that away. I mean, there's a lot of things that went on that I didn't agree with because, you know, I'm a solar nut anyway.
Sure.
But
not going to touch that one.
We can't argue about it. I mean, somebody out there had better get behind it.
Yeah, I know. I know, absolutely. Gary, thanks so much. It's nice to know that there is somebody out there thinking like this. Because, it's not just a matter of stockpiling
There's
your guns
actually
and
a
your
lot
dehydrated
of
food.
Like this. If you get on the net and start looking, you'd be...
Oh, I don't doubt it at all. I'll tell you another fun thing, and I know I've said, have you ever gone yet to ApolloAlliance.org? Go there.
I'll go there right now.
It's a way to change America. And, you know,
right
unions
now.
Are behind it, universities are behind it. Financiers are behind it. Everyone apparently except the president and Congress. And it's a way to change and save America.
Is George Soros behind it?
Wouldn't surprise me if some of his money was.
I got a call from the NRA today, one of their solicitors. They wanted me to join up. Go through the UN to take everybody's guns.
Oh, and don't turn the show off either. I got a fun little UN story later. Hey, Gary, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care. All right, and Paul. Hey, Paul, you're head on. Paul.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
If I was any better, well, the last time I used that line, I got told.
That one means.
That's okay.
Well, I was listening to your really, really like that, and I know you have some history.
That's one of my favorites.
And but boy, when you go from that something about the vagaries of AM radio, take it away. Fucking Dean, Raven. Dean. But,
she's a pretty lady.
Pretty lady. Nice lady. Waving and lying. Anyways, I was... I do have a story about Bill Gates. Their actual income. That's a good point that your last caller made, that it's going to be you know, people like me who live hand to mouth, paying a whopping big 23%, basically going to eat up all of my
Sure.
But there is a story about Bill Gates, and what the amazing thing about Bill Gates is not that he's a software genius, you know, a math geek who found a way to make fact of his unflinching greed and might. I heard a story once about him to finish purchasing goods and taking so long to do it that the old lady behind him just gave him a nickel to make up the difference and finish off the transaction.
Isn't there an old Newhart episode like that?
The amazing thing about Bill Gates is he took it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that just astounds the hell out of me. Gross guy. Is he the guy that sent out that newsletter?
Yeah, billionaire financier, apparently Bane
Greek,
of the... No, Hungarian.
Hungarian, okay, right.
He's a Jew whose family masqueraded as Christians so as not to get...
Who's this other guy, the rebel billionaire, the...
Oh, Richard Branson.
There's a guy who, you know, I do not understand the super wealthy. The God that I never become one, because I don't want to bash greed and hypocrisy take over. I was watching the Branson guy on The Daily Show the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have John Stewart, you know, good New York liberal Jewish guy, absolutely fawning over this guy.
Yeah, I caught that.
For no other reason than the fact that he's fabulously wealthy.
Well, you know, it still all goes back to that conversation between Fitzgerald and Hemingway, Paul. Where Fitzgerald, who of course was the same way, utterly enamored of wealth, you know, looks at Hemingway and says, you know, the rich are very different from who was probably half in the bag at the time. Well, yeah, sure, they got money.
Yeah. Makes a big diff.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, my long held maxim that the only people you ever hear saying, you know, money can't buy you happiness are poor people who don't have any.
At all.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there. When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY.
Log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Don't miss the 12th annual West Virginia Wireless United Way Charity Coffee Fan on Monday, June 20th at Black Knight Dollars. Beverages provided by Budweiser. Lunch provided by the Outback Steakhouse from 11:30 to 1, eat times 8 a.m. Limited number of coffers allowed. Make your reservations early. Hit a hole in one for a chance to win a new car from hometown Subaru Kia. It's the 12th annual West Virginia Wireless 20th at Black Knight Country Club.
Your forecast from the Weather Channel. Slight threat of showers and storms tonight, down to 5, and tomorrow that threat continues. Just a few clouds, 82. Wednesday, partly cloudy, a stray shower.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Yeah.
He looked pretty darn happy to me. And as you look around the world, people still live in poverty, live in filth. I mean, it's amazing that you can be watching The Daily Show and go into a commercial break and see an ad for the Christian Children's Fund.
Yeah, well, and
it's just, what the heck is wrong with this picture?
You're
the only one who gets this.
No, you're not. But when you're Bill Gates or when you're Richard Branson, we're not Buddhists, we're not Hindus. So the paradigm we have is the Bible. When you're Richard Branson and when you're Bill Gates, your entire Bible has been wiped out except for when Jesus looks up and goes, Judas, the poor you've got always with you. Screw them.
Yeah, and that's really.
Yeah.
So who doesn't take the Bible out of context?
But I mean that's where it comes from. That is the justification. That's the justification of the right wing. I've had it handed to me. You know, Christ wasn't really charitable because, that's why he said the poor you have always with you when Judas tried to give that ointment to the sell that ointment and give the money to the poor. I mean, that's been told to me, Paul.
Yeah, I understand it. It just astounds me that these people are foolish. I mean. The biggest assault on the working class with the current has been the elimination of the death tax. That's really your class is key to a level playing field. Is the ability to treat death as a taxable event and use it as an opportunity to distribute wealth.
Yeah.
And taking that away is the biggest assault on the middle class and the poor that's ever been perpetrated in. I don't think there was ever a time in this country where inheritance wasn't taxable.
Or oldie England or Rome.
It's entirely part of our economic. But I'm thinking that if we want to make liberal And I mean liberal in the old traditional society that embraces freedom, opportunity, capitalism, that kind of oldie liberalism.
Yeah, not as in...
Not as in the current pejorative political lingo.
Going to kill your babies.
It's liberalism as opposed to communism. Or
right.
As opposed to fascism. That liberalism with that...
Don't tell the conservatives that.
If you want to... Well, the conservatives are beyond fascism now. They're back to feudalism.
I mean, yeah, I'd say.
What it gets back to. I mean, we have seen actionary thing of a magnitude. I think it all began with the 86 tax code revision.
Well, I think that's a good starting point.
I mean, that's really where the middle class began, in my lifetime at least, and continued unabated through the last, what are we here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I mean, what I remember during the great Reagan fest of his death. And,
well, newsflash,
yeah.
Ronald Wilson Reagan, 40th president of the United States, is still dead.
Yeah, we hope. I remember seeing an ad of him, and he may have been even older than the... I believe that when you tax a thing, you get less of it. Clearly what he really means is saying, I believe that when we tax a thing, I get less of it.
Yeah.
And that's really the I believe, I firmly believe, that if we're going to maintain this liberal culture, you know, this advancement of, we're going to have to start treating government not as the regulator of the enforcer of contracts, which is basically all the Republicans want it to be. We're going to have to take it back to being a Robin Hood, the redistributor of wealth for economic justice. That's what we really need to be working towards, is some form of... I've been thinking more and more how we probably do need to take taxation and put it into some sort of perspective where it's as endless as possible to collect. It's simply take away the taxing jurisdictions that we all have to live in. These are counties, our school boards, our taxing authority with very limited taxing methods that are painless to pay into. But still retain the spending authority of all those jurisdictions. I think that would be a big, big step in the direction of...
Well, isn't that, I mean, isn't the model for that what happens when these, when Joe's bank gets bought out by, Untied Bank of West Virginia, and they in turn get bought out by a really big bank of the East?
Right.
Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah, and the model is that it works. I mean, that is really, that's economic efficiency is all that is. And this is one idea from the Reagan administration that is a good one, is what was at the time called New Federalism, where feds get out of the actual strings attached, lower your speed limit to 55 if you want road money kind of stuff, and all you do is you block grant that money to the pre-taxing jurisdiction and send them a team of auditors and accounting controls, so that you make sure it's not grafted away or, you know, anything. That's really, that's a model of government being run on economic efficiency. You don't have all that wasted various jurisdictions taxing and auditing and accounting and all that.
But,
crap.
Paul, that can never happen as long as the right is hanging on to the other Reagan mantra that government is not the solution to the problem, government is the problem.
And that's really downright wrong. I mean, that was the big lie that was told during my high school years at Bauer, was that the government can't do anything right, and that the private sector is the only thing that really works. And honestly, it's quite the contrary. I worked in the private sector, and I worked in the government. And as between the two, the government more or less has greater controls, greater oversight, greater allocation of resources to and generally gets a better result in everything that it endeavors to do than the private sector does. The other thing that's really astounding to me is this idea that we are... you were touching on the Social Security scheme of privatization, and I understand the appeal of that to some people and how it frightens others. One interesting fact is that right before the election, Kerry people were saying, yeah, this is really going to be the November surprise. George Bush is going to come out and want to privatize. Carl Rove says, oh, shame on you. You're scaring seniors.
Exactly. We got called fearmongers over that.
And, here it is. That's exactly what they want to do.
You're right. Hey, we got it. We got to knock it off here, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All righty, I'll let you go.
I appreciate the food for thought.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. This is News Talk 620. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Terminate. Wait, flag. morning, yesterday evening, broken into a halted and jury. Year-old Donald 23rd, 50, rain tomorrow evening, mid-30s. And then for Saturday and Sunday, they still say it's going to be sunny.
Good morning, family. John Isaac sent me to the store for Operation Food for Fonds. Along with patients doing good.
We're your neighbor.
Monitoring system only $19.99 and 50.
Monoxide and battery operate symptoms like it has been today. Health report. To help you stay
filled garlic and this malacca. Drop for too long. With it. And very latest. It's easy and it's...
Officers responding to the calls. They arrived. But soon disappears. Here's the forecast for this evening. Muggy, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Kids, forcing them to hand over their lunch facilities, routinely built, they were expert at extorting the most.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. That was not dead air. That was... That was a pregnant pause. That was actually what that was a that was a test for the hearing impaired. yeah, Marceau's greatest test. Rick Reiser is producing tonight and doing. No, hey, I wasn't ready with Marceau's greatest hits. Let's go back to the phones and Bo. Hey, Bo, you're head on.
Bob.
Thanks for waiting so long. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It sounds like you're having a good time in the studio tonight. Great show.
Well, thank you. You know, every night I'm here is a great night.
Well, that's every night we're all here is a good night.
Every day above the ground.
Yeah. You know, the subject I always call in about is mountain ranger.
Sure.
I'd like to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective.
Sure.
You know, we protested yesterday, and I really believe...
Thanks for the picks, by the way.
Oh, that's great. You got them then, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I believe that yesterday we stood up and we looked into the eyes of evil yesterday.
Yes, we did.
You know, I watched the TV bits last night, and, you know, I noticed something about with Blankenship, and I really don't like to just stay on Blankenship all the time, but, you know, I looked into his eyes. His eyes are empty, so it's like there's no soul inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
And just stays on his subject of, you know, coal is so great for West Virginia and the future. You know, anyone with a brain tells that, you know, there is no sustainability in the future of West Virginia if you bank it on coal.
Right.
Because coal is a finite resource.
Right.
And, you know, looking at it from, the Christian values, you know, we hear a lot about that lately.
Right.
You know, and I'd like to ask all Christians to think about this. Are we not all God's children, you know? And, you know, I believe, I may not have this exactly right, Bob, but I remember from reading the Bible, and I don't read the Bible every day. I read the New Testament a lot more than the Old Testament, but
sure.
I believe somewhere in the Old Testament it says that, you know, God said that, how can you say you love me when you cannot see me? That you do not love your brother on earth, that you do see what I have given you? There's something along that lines. That,
yeah, and there's something telling in that, isn't there?
Very telling. You know, you think about that. It's a warning sign to be aware of the devil and his deceitfulness, you know. It's like, think about it, his most coveted prize has to be the destruction of the earth and all of its God's creatures.
Sure.
So, you know, how do you profess to love God whom you cannot see, yet you stand by and you watch the destruction of his creation going on with mountaintop removal, mountain range removal, everything been blown into oblivion. And
you know, I don't mean to be overly sensitive to the newts and the salamanders and the little birdies and stuff, Bo, but, you know, they don't evacuate the critters before they blow the mountain up. Things
probably
die
don't.
When
they
those
don't
charges go off.
The bears or the deer. You know, the Lakota have a greeting, and I know you know what it is. It is Mataki Oyas.
Mm-hmm.
And it means simply that to all my relations, we are all related. Man, beast, they all share the same breath. They're all God's creatures. They understand that a lot better than we do. And we all need each other. And I think that Christians need to stand up and not be divided that, you know, the moral right or the moral left. Or, you know, I understand, you know, people are against abortion. I'm against abortion. I oppose abortion.
I've never paid for one in my life.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, you know, what is worse, mother aborting a baby or Bush allowing toxins to be put into her womb to abort the baby after it's born?
Yeah, or make sure that the baby is born in such a misshapen form that it can never lead a meaningful life or comprehend salvation.
Exactly. You know, they've kind of captured this pro-issues thing, and it's like, to me, it's so phony. You know, you really, everyone has a brain. God gave us a free will. We all have a free will to think for ourselves. People should not go into church and let a preacher tell them how to think or how to vote or who to, you know, what to stand up for. We all have our own minds. And I encourage people to really start waking up. Get your head out of the sand, because there's no future for this entire planet unless we really start really thinking the direction we're headed. And it's a bad
direction. Well, I've got a photograph here in front of me, Bo. Go to CNN.com. You can probably find it. It's a NASA photograph of our sweet little blue-green marble, the planet that we live on. And it shows the areas of greatest heat output. Now, if you were just looking at that in a vacuum, so to speak, where would you think the hottest place on Earth is?
America.
Well, yeah, see, you get the right answer. You're a couple of steps ahead of me. I'm thinking, Sahara Desert, you know. But in fact, the North American continent running all the way up to the North Pole in this infrared photograph looks like what? It's red like an inflamed pimple on a teenager's nose.
Yeah, it stands out.
Yeah, and down there, you know, equatorial South America, you know, hot, lush, rainforest. Cool,
right.
Cool. But North America just looks like hell.
Yeah, and that's because we use more energy than any.
Well, we got 5% of the world's population. We use 25% of the world's resources.
Yeah, that's about it.
And yeah,
it may be greater than that right now. I know it's at least that.
Yeah, and I won't support that Kyoto Protocol because it might. And he says it'll cost jobs. What that translates as, you know, again, conservative code, Bo. What that translates as is it might cost my cronies some money.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the people here in West Virginia need to think about what you're saying, and they need to think about, you know, the fact that this Blankenship. I don't know anything on Blankenship, but our politicians and these aides in West Virginia, and they all tout this thing that the future of West Virginia lies in coal. That is so wrong. That is so deceitful. It just boggles the mind. You know, coal will run out, and coal is going to run out.
Yeah, when
it's
you
going
say,
to run out a lot sooner. Than
yeah, when you
realize.
When you say that the future lies in coal, what you are confessing is that you have no future.
Exactly. Or you're so stupid that you think that coal grows on trees. You can cultivate it.
Yeah.
You know, and we all know that that's not true.
And you know, the other side of that, you know, the front end of this news story that we had today from Carl Mack's Big Stacko News, the lead line in it, Bo, is new federal environmental regulations could specifically affect the West Virginia coal industry. And this is out of that meeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's because the new environmental regulations don't include mandatory provisions for mercury reduction.
Scary as hell.
And the thing is, for those fiends of coal out there running around with their stupid bumper stickers and their dumb little signs in their yards, what they don't understand is the guy that they voted for slipped the shiv between their ribs before they even knew what was happening, because you got to bust a hump to get the mercury out of the coal that comes out of the ground in West Virginia. But now where's Dick Cheney from?
Wyoming.
Yeah, and that coal that comes out of the ground out there,
yeah,
you don't have to do near as much to it to clean it up.
No.
You know, so, you know, whose back's he going to scratch? It ain't ours, Bo.
No, it's not ours. And the whole thing is ridiculous. Our state has been hijacked by out-of-state coal barons.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that. We need to get our head out of the sand and realize that. They don't care about any future of West Virginia. They only their agenda, their motivation is profit. It's not a sustainable West Virginia. And I'm going to tell you, Bob, you're going to hear this buzzword in the very near future: sustainability in West Virginia. They're going to start using that, and we need to control that word before they hijack it, because that's going to be the new word in West Virginia. And they're going to talk about coal is the sustainable future of West Virginia. Enough coal. I mean, what the hell is sustainable, you know?
Yeah.
About coal.
And you know, probably, you know, it's one of these nasty, you know, what is it? There's lies, damned lies, and statistics. One of these ugly little statistics that nobody likes to pay any attention to is just exactly what the energy yield is from any given lump of coal that gets set on fire.
Well, you know,
30%.
The thing that came out of the sustainability meeting I was at last week that I learned.
What's that?
That each of us in America use approximately 4 to 5 pounds of coal per day, all of us do, in their energy demands. Now, I've also read where for each pound of coal extracted mountaintop removal method, 5 pounds of, I don't want to use the word waste, 5 pounds of mountain. How's that?
Yeah.
So if we each use 5 pounds a day, then we're wasting 25 pounds of mountain every day. Every
right.
one of us. That'd be, you know, another 5 years, Bob, we won't have any mountains.
No.
They're gone. And what are we going to have in West Virginia?
Almost level, West Virginia.
A flat, toxic waste dump. And they're going to leave, and we're going to be sitting here with our fingers twiddling around and around, thinking, what happened?
Yeah, and, you know, will the last person out of West Virginia please, well, don't bother to turn off the lights.
Yeah, just close the door.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I suppose, you know, we sit here and we got a nice little tighten-up lecture from our friend David last night toward the end of the show.
Yeah, I heard it.
And he was spot on, you know?
Yeah.
And the question for us is, how do we get the message out?
The only way I know is to... Talking about it, I don't fault the people that work in the coal field. God bless them. I mean, I feel bad for them. They're victims. We're all victims here. And we all need to understand that here in West Virginia, not just West Virginia, Kentucky, parts of Virginia, Tennessee now, we have all become victims of this machine. We're like the sacrificial lambs. We're being made into the third world resource economy for the U.S. government to...
Well, again, something that David said last night.
You know,
nowhere that has ever been exploited solely based upon its mineral resources has ever prospered.
Exactly.
Whether it be the gold mine pits of South Africa,
exactly.
or whether it is West Virginia and eastern Kentucky and eastern Tennessee and Virginia, or you consider the Andean cultures and the Mesoamerican cultures that were, you know, uh-huh. the Spanish came into Mexico and made Hitler was an undergrad compared to what the Spanish pulled in Mexico in terms of the number of people killed.
Exactly.
And the only thing they were after was that one resource, and to hell with everybody else and to hell with everything else.
That's what greed does to a soul.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. You all need to understand that we all are part of this planet.
You know, our FOB Gary talks about the massive and horrifying paradigm shift that's on the way. You know, how can I put this? I raise a garden because I like to raise a garden, but I raise a garden because I think if my kids watching me raise a garden, when the day comes that they have to, they'll be able to, and maybe they won't die.
Well, you wonder, you know, you wonder about that because they may be raised in a garden that's saturated with toxins.
Yeah.
And that is the scary thing, you know, and I probably said this last night or some other night, but, you know, one of the fears that I have is that someday, maybe not in my lifetime, but maybe in my child or my grandchild's lifetime, that they just may realize that, you know, hey, we're out here trying to raise a garden in this toxic soil, drinking this polluted water. Over there is a city with a bubble in it and all those elitists and those powerfully goods, and we're over here dying.
Well, see, and that's the... And
that could happen.
Yeah, it
really
could
happen.
And that comes back to something that I, too, have said, Bo. And I say this out of kindness to the upper class. It would do them well to remember that, you know, from time to time, the poor, when they get poor and hurt and bad and hard up enough, you know...
Rebellion.
Yeah, they run out and they slit some throats and then they kill a bunch of poor people, but...
Well, it's happening. It is really happening. And I don't want to get into the Middle East situation, but it's happening.
Sure it is.
And it's there for us to learn from. If we can't learn from that... And
they are not chopping off heads in Iraq because we have mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
They're not chopping them off because we're Christians. They're not chopping them off because we have Frisbees and wheat checks. They're chopping them off because we're there.
Yeah, and apparently they've just decided, I hate to say that, because I'm totally against that. I mean, there is no excuse. Bring them to justice, and we need to take them through the cold. They hate us.
Yeah.
And there's a reason.
Bo, thanks so much. And again,
okay,
this being Veterans Day, thank you, my friend.
Oh, well,
thank you.
All right, take care and have a good evening.
We'll sure try. All right, bye now. No, he's right. And what I was talking about, this news story from Carl Max, this is what it says. New federal environmental regulations could specifically affect the West Virginia coal industry. That's according to SPA. Former administrator of the Energy Information Administration of the U.S. Post, environmental regulations don't include mandatory provisions for mercury. That hurts Central Appalachian coal because it's easier to clean mercury out of that coal than from Western coal. So I kind of had it. But flying in the face of reason and common sense, our old buddy Massey Energy Chairman, CEO, self-appointed King of West Virginia, and all-around great guy Don Blankenship, he said the environmentalists like me, our focus on mercury pollution is misguided. I'm misguided because I recall, well, you remember the Mad Hatter, don't you? You've read your Lewis Carroll or had it read to you. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, crazy! Sprayed roach crazy. The Mad Hatter. And it's from hatters dealt in felt, and in order to make felt, they worked it over with mercury, and it seeps, and mercury's really neat. It will seep into your skin. You don't have to smell it. You don't have to breathe it. You don't have to eat it. It'll come in. It goes directly in through the skin, and it will make you crazier than a sprayed roach. Mercury will. But, you know, again, Massey CEO Don Blankenship, self-appointed king of West Virginia, all-around great guy, said he personally bathes in the stuff every day. You know, in fact, Blankenship says that he eats mercury on his Cheerios every morning instead of milk, and it hasn't done him any harm yet. You know, his serene carboniferousness, Mr. Blankenship, pointed to the monumental profits of Massey that they've posted over the last several quarters, proving just how good mercury is for the brain. Newsflash. Massey loses money on a regular basis. Following his remarks, King Don checked his watch, a Swiss timepiece that was inscribed to Donnie from the whole Wonderland crowd, ripped his clothes off and chased off after a white rabbit. And, of course, the story goes on. It says, several dozen protesters gathered outside, holding up signs decrying mountaintop removal mining, Blankenship's role in promoting Republican breastful state Supreme Court bid, Democrat Warren McGraw. That Blankenship said that he was proud that $3.5 million on that's $3.5 million spent to convince you that destroying the earth is a good thing, to convince you that the one in six, you know, if he's going to talk, he can at least get his facts together. I mean, what's this? The focus on mercury pollution is misguided because of the small amount found in the United States compared with the rest of the world. So let me see if I've got this straight. You know, I understand a little bit of logic here. Because there's more mercury floating around out in the undeveloped or out in the Soviet Union, Mexico, where they don't have environmental standards. Because there's no environmental standards there, and they dump mercury into the environment. Not anything that environmentalists need to worry about. Because what? I mean, you can't. Salmon, farm-raised salmon is filthy with mercury to the point that the FDA has said, watch how much salmon you eat. One in six women have so much mercury in their bodies that they are at risk of delivering a flipper baby. You get it? God, I hope you do. Hair samples of, take a hair sample, boom, mercury. Mercury is not a naturally occurring element within the human frame. Not supposed to be there. It's only there if you're ingesting it or having it rubbed onto you or it falls on you out of the air, which is what happens when you burn coal. Yeah, so, you know, that's why. That's why Don Blankenship says the things he says, because he, like the rest of us, is a West Virginian breathing West Virginia air, and it's got a boatload of mercury in it. It's okay for your children to have it build up in their bloodstream, so if you, lady, you know, if you didn't have a flipper baby, If Don Blankenship gets his way, your kids will. What a great guy. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. It's 252-6200, the number around hereabouts. Outside Beckley, it's 800-629-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. And we'll be back after the CBS Hodkin case.
Head on. Bye, guards. Don't forget your mouth guard. Game. Well, they're baby teeth. Ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under... For more information, go to boosterseat.gov.
Spending a little time coaching, he helps my...
WWNR, Beckley.
He's in no rush to be savage. Bob Kincaid.
But no show tomorrow night. But, you know, that's kind of cool because I'm gonna give my dad his Veterans Day present a day late. My dad loves my ribs. Two big old slabs of ribs are thawing. They are thawing now, aren't they, Agnes? And I'm going to fire up the smoker and bathe them in delicious carcinogenic hickory smoke all day tomorrow. Make the homemade Bob BBQ sauce and be me. We're going to go right back to the phones in a minute. If anybody is listening and or watching, I'm curious. I know that Channel 8 in Charleston refused. That's my understanding. Did WOAY take a powder on showing Private Ryan tonight, too? Oh, really, can you? Okay. I found that disturbing. You know, stations refusing because, you know, Steven Spielberg is very, very persnickety. If you're going to run Private Ryan, you're going to run it the way he presented it. And this was a special presentation to commemorate Veterans Day, which I think is high. Man, what a movie. And ABC was going to run it. And a lot of stations, out of mortal fear of pudgy little corporate media monopoly plaything Michael Powell, said, well, you know, they dropped the F-bomb in there 47 times. And I guess it's one of those cultural things. I mean, what's the message we send, really? I mean, do the American people have some sort of notion in their head that war is some sort of a sanitary thing where everybody uses Sunday school language and never a harsh word is spoken? I mean, I remember seeing Saving Private Ryan in the theater, and it was with, you know, full Dolby stereo sound. I was hunching down in my seat, dodging those bullets. You know, Dolby Digital is beautiful stuff, and what Steven Spielberg did with that film was amazing. Is that a problem for you? I mean, do you think your children would just immediately go down the primrose path to hell if they heard soldiers talking like soldiers talk in a movie? You know, is there a need for this debate? Yes, it's all about Janet Jackson's breast. But at some point, do we grow up? I mean, is that the real problem in America? Is that the problem in your household, the fact that there was a dirty word in that show? Now, there are severe limitations on the words that I can use here that anybody broadcasting over the public airwaves can use. Never mind the fact that it goes on every day, and if you don't think this is true, think again. These words are used in the public schools around your children. They are used in the good Christian schools around your children. They are used next door in private schools around your children. They are used, and they are everyday words. I personally ascribe to the Lenny Bruce theory. Say them so much and so often that they have no meaning. The F-bomb in particular comes to mind because, you know what, if you listen to this younger generation, you will find that it comes out and has no meaning. In many cases, it's used the same way maybe you and I would say, waiting for the next thought to come into our head. And am I wrong? I mean, is this going to destroy the moral fabric of our country? Which is a what is a greater threat to the moral fabric of our country? Going to war over false pretenses to achieve political goals and killing American children in the process? Oh, good. OAY is running. Wow. I'm proud of them. Hooray, hooray for the First Amendment and OAY. God, you know, God knows there's a lot of people that give them a whole bucket full of grief on any given occasion, but I'm proud of them. The First Amendment is a bold and brazen and brash and terrifying thing, I suppose, for some people. But really, is the world going to come to an end? Indeed, she is. Is the world going to come to an end because Southern West Virginia is hearing 47 F-bombs tonight? I don't think so. I think the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And the argument, well, you know, if you know, Bob, if you want to hear all those dirty words, you know, you can go and, like, rent it at Blockbuster or something. You know, you can watch it when it comes on that dirty, filthy, nasty HBO. No. I mean, frankly, this is one of those films everybody deserves to see. Needs to see. You know, they won't let us see the coffins coming home from Iraq. You know, we're told that, what, the 16, 18, there are some American dead from the Battle of Fallujah. Have you noticed what they're not telling you? They're not telling you how many wounded, maimed, how many butchered. And God knows they are not telling you how many women and children are dead, and I am not quite a simple fool enough to think that there are no dead civilians in the Battle of Fallujah. We may have smart bombs, but we're still using guns, and those guns don't have smart bullets. This is not a video game. So, you know, this is just that liberal left wing trying to make people say that, like, well, you know, war is violent or something. Bite me! Go to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We got Jim. Hey, Jim, your head on.
Oh, hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Your point is very well taken about what the use of language. And, you know, when I see these people getting so upset about the F-bomb, I can't help but think about Cheney.
Yeah.
Well, in the Senate, with no bullets flying around his head, no bullets have ever flown around his head that I know, except the ones that he probably shoots at defenseless animals.
Right.
No one said anything to him about it, really. He didn't even bother to apologize. And what really galls me is the fact that people like him actively send other people into harm's way, into situations in which they will lose their lives, their arms, their legs, their sanity, their reason for living because of the horrors they have seen. When I see his boss, federal recognition was withdrawn during his so-called service,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam. And by the way, you gave me a website, and I pulled it up, about the record of George W. Bush and why he was rendered unfit for service.
Right.
And past hour, I've been watching the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan. Kind of hard to do, because basically, when you see the carnage of that, and the horrors to which these so-called leaders will willingly subject another human being just to promote their own selfish agenda, then we have the nerve to criticize the film because it has expletives and obliteratives that are used commonly in many places, like you just said. It absolutely blows my mind, but I can tell you this, my friend, these men, at whatever beach they landed on, whatever place they were parachuted into, in every war that we've ever fought, they did not die for a country that land poisoned.
No, my uncles, my father fought, some of them died for the very First Amendment that these weirdos want to trample on.
FDR, Trump had
right.
Freedom from fear, freedom from want, and freedom from a number of other things. And I think we need to rethink that and look unto ourselves as stewards of this country, because I don't think that these men died to see their progeny poisoned or hurt in any other way.
That this nation shall not perish from the earth. That's why they died. Lincoln's words.
Right, they did. And, my tribute to, number one, all those men who have sacrificed and given.
And women.
People who have, literally given the last measure of full devotion. And I really think that we are squandering, for our own selfish whatever, that gift that those people pay so dearly that we might have.
Our priorities, Jim, are so thoroughly out of whack. I don't know how you wake America up. It's like I mentioned last night. These men and women who come home from Iraq, who happen to not be 21 years old yet, have had bullets fly by their heads, may have been injured by those bullets, and can't have a damn beer. I mean, it's bass ackwards. You want to talk about screwed up priorities? That little girl that got bounced out of Woodrow a couple of months back because of something written on the back of her skirt.
I heard.
It dumbfounded me because the guy was asked, okay, this is something sexual to you about what was written across her butt, and yet, what about all the guys running around the school with the Big Johnson written on their T-shirt? And this guy says, well, you can't expect me to see everything. Dadgum, he can see what's written on a little girl's butt, but he can't see something that's eye level? Yeah, we're out of whack, Jim. We are completely out of whack. Our priorities are just bumbled.
Well, the emphasis is on the wrong syllable of the cart or the horse. But, this is not a day in which I want to get into all that.
I know, but that's just as an example.
I would just like to offer a prayer of thanks, a prayer of remembrance for all whom I have known personally, and for all the people had to under 3 score and 10, somebody thought it would be good for them to be up against steel and fire.
Yeah.
And that's just not an easy thing to handle for me.
No. But Jim, what is sincerely offered, I am sure, is sincerely received. Wore the uniform too, and you have my thanks. And you have yourself a great night. Jim, do take care. And we try to be kind to first-time callers, and I think we have one. Michael, on line one, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Kagan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great, and it's just Bob. We're all just folks around here.
Okay, Bob. Well, I just talk to you a minute.
Sure.
About, you're talking about the First Amendment, and I agree with you, sir. I believe of everybody's right to the First Amendment. But when it comes to the point where, we're saying to our people that it's all right to say these things. Now, which I understand, this movie is a movie that needs to be seen. I will agree with you 100%.
I'm glad you do.
Because I want to tell you this. I believe that if we do not learn from our past, we are doomed to repeat it.
Amen.
Now, I believe that this situation in Iraq, situation that we were going to have to deal with sooner or later. Now, I know you disagree with me on that.
That's true.
But we were going to have to deal with that situation sooner or later because it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, those people, in my opinion, when they come back from over there, because I've had some very good friends of mine come back from over there,
mm-hmm.
and some of them have had wounds, some of them have been, dealing with different things that they've seen, but every one of them said, when those people come up to them and said, thank you for helping us, that to them, that made it worth it for them to be there.
As well, I can imagine it would.
And yes, sir, just like those French people years ago when the Americans come in to help them. They were there saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us. Same with the Germans. People say, thank you for helping us.
Right.
You know, that's the way I think it should be. We should remember those people over there that are saying, thank you for helping us. You know, we're doing it for those people. You know, we may not agree with the way things went and with our leadership of things, but we ought to remember that there are people over there that are dying just to be free. And that's why I believe the movie that they're showing is so important to see. Now, if you don't want your children to see or hear the language,
put them to bed.
Turn the channel.
Yeah, you know, most families have a couple of TVs. Send them to another room.
Yes, sir.
Put on Toy Story. Put on something like that. For my part, I mean, I know my kids, Michael, have already heard these words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with my kids hearing them in that context. I have a lot less problem, in fact, Michael, having them hear those words in that context than I do having them hear it on the playground, which they do.
Yes, sir. Well, you will see right now, and I want people to know this, that I know that you swing to the liberal side of things, but I swing to the conservative side of things, but you all know on this issue, on the patriotism of this movie and the things that it means, we agree.
Yeah.
I agree that people need to see it. Now, me and you probably differ. I believe some of that language they could bleep out. Now, I understand why you wouldn't want to do that, but still, you know, if we bleep out other movies, why not bleep out this one? You know, and I understand the censorship of different things, and I understand the real reality of this movie. But still, there are certain things that I just don't believe should be said on television.
Well, and I think without naming it specifically, Michael, what you are doing is you are delineating this what is supposed to be the rule for broadcast media, and that is it's not a question of the word qua the word. It is a question of context, and it is a question of, and this is the operative word within the FCC statutes as I understand them, decency.
But now, if honest with that, now if I was to be talking right with you,
mm-hmm.
and I just start blatant using the F word, now would that not?
No, it wouldn't. We would hit the. We've got a thing here called a 7-second delay. That's why you can't listen to the radio while you're talking on the phone with me. I would hit that button and pray to Almighty God that Michael Powell didn't hear it.
Yes, sir. But see, what is the difference between that? And this is my only question about it. What is the difference between that and what's being?
Well, thank you, Michael.
An enjoyable experience talking to you.
I hope we'll hear from you again sometime, Michael.
You sure will.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that is the operative question. And it's, I guess, a question of gratuitousness. And whether or not that, you know, and it's the old constitutional law question about obscenity, you know, and I forget which justice, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. And if we apply that standard to something like Saving Private Ryan, I think it's clear that those words should be allowed. And it goes beyond words. It goes to appearances. Is it sinful? Or is it indecent to show that naked statue in the main hall of the Department of Justice that John Ashcroft felt like he had to put a curtain over at the cost of about $8,000 to you and me? You know, was that a dirty statue? You know, was Janet Jackson's breast dirty? I think it was gratuitous. Was it dirty? You know, I think little babies blown up in Iraq is a lot more obscene than any naked woman. I think it was the author Robert A. Heinlein once wrote that any male who cannot appreciate the feminine form divine should have been born an oyster. Sex is too good for him. So, you know, that. Let's go to, line 3 and Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on. Thanks for calling.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm having a blast.
Having a good show.
Well, thank you.
I understand they can't turn their clickers. They're taking off Saving Private Ryan.
There are ABC affiliates all over this country that are refusing to have anything to do with it.
You know, and West Virginia just has to get in there and be proud once again.
No, hey, no. OAY is running it.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they are, and I'm so proud of them I could just bust.
Oh, I am so sorry. I take everything I said back.
Well, no, that's okay. You can damn with faint praise the fine folks down at WCHS ABC 8 in Charleston, because they wean it out.
Well, you know, I think one thing that bothers me most about this is that in a crisis situation, how many people let words slip? that they wouldn't normally let go.
You ask, Cherie, you ask anybody who has been in radio for more than 6 months if anything ever slipped, and I can guarantee you the answer is yes, and I am grateful for this 7 second delay in a way you can't.
Michael Powell has in a day.
Oh, plenty, I'm
you,
sure.
Or is he, crying out for sainthood? And about the bare breast, is breastfeeding a child dirty?
Dirty. It's dirty. It's sinful.
God, then God shouldn't have made us that way.
If he hadn't, me and God would be going around.
Well,
I'm sorry. That was just wrong of me. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right. And I'm sure Agnes will forgive you, too. It disturbs me that this is what it's coming to.
Well, and again, you've got to, we can't hammer on 8 too much over this, because the fact of the matter is, Cherie, by virtue of what happened with Janet Jackson's exposed breast, the entire, and Helen Damnation on Democrats and Republicans both in Congress, had an absolute screaming hissy fit to be the first one to write the bill and join in the bill and co-sponsor the bill. Rick, what did the fines go from? Yeah, I mean, it went from maybe $25,000, $50,000 per occurrence, and now it's $275,000. And the thing is, the way they set it up, they can fine, say, ABC. If Michael Powell gets a B under his bonnet, he can fine ABC for every time an ABC affiliate ran that word all over the country and multiply it by the times the number of words was repeated. So it happens 47 times in the movie, times every ABC affiliate in the country, times $275,000.
Lord God, and
they can hammer the station too.
Well,
and see, this is one of those moments of congressional abject, utter, drop dead butt stupidity, where the only thing these congressmen wanted to do was run home and tell the mouth breathers, we have made America safe from the dirty words.
Well, it's bad.
So much for not being able to tax your way into prosperity.
Well, why not just take everything off TV and
leave it to Beaver?
Leave it to Beaver.
Ah, don't say Beaver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bad word. Well, to the turkeys. How's that?
Yeah.
It's just.
Leave it to the flat-tailed marsupial.
Is this truly what America wants? They want to go back 100 years? I thought we were becoming a technical event.
No, we are a Puritan society, Cherie. And, it's not going to be long if these mouth breathers have their way before, we're driving past billboards that say, suffer not a witch to live, and, there's a little stake for burning. And a lot of this comes down to woman hate, okay? This is woman hating. If you'll notice, everything that is indecent has to do with the procreative act or some function of female anatomy.
And on.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. West Virginia legislators were told that computer and telephone systems that cannot be raising the state's cost and cost mobile phones may be widespread that would make private landowners pay. Good evening, cloudy, muggy, showers and thunder, mostly in the afternoon. Part News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack.
Did you know after age 65, almost 3 out of 4 of us may need some form of long-term care? That's why there's long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Insurance Company. It offers the care options important to you, like in-home care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agents? For cost and complete coverage details, call Don Bowling in Oak Hill, Maria Dooley in Richwood, or Regina Echo in Hinton. This excited in long-term care, knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 19...
Neighbors, State Farm is
waiting for. They've built a nest outside your wheel. When you climb 15 feet up this ladder to them, take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
But, Paul, I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot, get away!
Kramer, some demonic canine destroys it. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So.
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov.
Failed with one hand, these resistance that woman could
as kids get through with affection and desperate toys.
Made from her heart, for some babies were born to be breastfed exclusively. Feed now, you hear?
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
We got it. We got a roll. Got a break on top of me.
Had a good time.
Bye. Thanks, Cherie. Bye-bye. You're always a pleasure. And I mean that in only the nicest way. Don't write the letter. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm First Amendment Bob Kincaid.
Hello, special lady. I think it's time for a little one-on-one conversation. Something about my business.
Sports Utility from 99 with Reed 21 walking in while you're just scrolling out to look at the finger.
Recent scientific studies of lactate education. And the goal, I go to
ovaries. The rectomies we battle just kept pushing cross funds and called a corset now. It was
guy.
Can you hear this? It's Viagra. Are you gelling?
Not afraid to you.
Slime
or show. 256-200 is the wonderful woman. If you do breastfeed, a little baby will be at less risk for respiratory illnesses. Hey, I'm just talking about breastfeeding. Educate your sweet self at 800-994-WOMAN. For woman.gov. Or talk to your healthcare provider. Babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station. Baby.
Well, there's racing next Friday is with you. We'll have some Friday head on. 252-6200 is the local number outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. On the internet, WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And back to the phones. And Kyle, hey, Kyle, your head on.
I want to know who did it. Who played the Viagra commercial before I come on the air to talk?
And we did it.
You were Rick.
Yeah, that's Jim Hightower. And you know, it's funny, for all his populism and all of his friend of the working man stuff, they don't hesitate a minute when they make that big nationwide media buy for Merck Pharmaceuticals. He's right.
And by the way, I've got it on tape. You said Beaver first, not Cherie, so she doesn't have to worry about being fired.
Well, yeah, thanks for all the help, Kyle.
Bob, doggone it, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You get off on something I agree with you on, and then you got to go on a tangent and blame it all on George Bush. Having said that...
Okay, which one is that?
Well, I agree with you. Bob, my children are grown and away from home with children of their own now.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob, I know, you see and know children are watching on TV.
Absolutely. And if I don't, my lovely
it's
wife does.
Being a parent.
Amen!
That's
sure.
It's called being a parent. Super Bowl. I agree. I mean, here you are. You're sitting with your family. You got your children, your grandchildren, whatever. You're sitting in front of the TV. You're watching the Super Bowl, and a woman's breast is exposed to the television
for not even a full second. Right.
Well, but it doesn't matter. But you have no control over that. You and your son, your daughter.
There was. You're absolutely right.
You know,
absolutely
you have
right.
No control. But ABC, I guarantee you, and I didn't submit, it's a good movie. I've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a coffee table.
It was harrowing in the movie theater, Kyle.
You know,
it was harrowing.
Screen incoming, you know.
Yeah.
It's called responsibility.
Sure it is. And you have a point, Kyle. You absolutely have a point because while, yes, we knew, everyone knew, that halftime show was going to be produced by MTV, and you know, you gets what you pays for. By the same token, there was no maturity warning, and heaven knows the Saving Private Ryan screening is up to its neck in maturity warnings. So you're absolutely right on that front.
Well, and this is something that a former pastor, and I'm going to put this on a current pastor, but was one of the ones that led the movement for this anti-Raleigh County, and section to that was. And I've said this all along. If they say that an adult cannot rent or buy a book or whatever and observe it in the privacy of their own home, that's censoring. That's called censorship.
You're darn right it is.
And the problem is, I understand. I'm not here to promote filth on our public airways. My problem is, once you open the door and they're able to say, no, you cannot ride that bike. No, you cannot rent that movie. No, you cannot. You cannot buy that magazine. Some, because that's offensive. You cannot wear that in public because it's offensive.
Right.
Once they take away that right, that opens for the door for them to say, no, you cannot carry that Bible.
Bingo.
No, you cannot watch that Christian movie. No, you cannot do this. No, you can. And that's the thing. Every right we have stripped of us. We cannot smoke in public. You know, I mean, it's caused there. We're losing rights rather than taking rights. And, Bob, I'm sorry. You've got to admit it. The Democrats and Republicans share responsibility in it.
Hey, did I say hell and damnation on both parties about the $275,000 fine? That was just shameless pandering.
Yes, you did. And I agree with you on that.
You know, but the thing, and I'm so glad you get it, Kyle. And you know, you're a sharp guy, and I kind of expected that you would. I didn't expect to get damned over this.
Bob, don't go drinking the Gatorade. Kool-Aid thing.
No.
I'm agreeing with you, Bob.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Enjoy the moment.
No, that's that, Kyle. That's what I was doing. Holy Moses! No, you get it. And what I don't understand is why these people, and I mean no insult, of more like mind with you than with me, don't get it, because you're absolutely right. If we want to, and please, this is just for example, I can point out three or four instances of absolutely harrowing sexual obscenity in the Old Testament. Without ever having to mention any purveyors of pornography. You know, what happened with Noah shouldn't happen to a dog. And the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing, and I'm not talking about the Sodom and Gomorrahites, I'm talking about the righteous family.
What was the
is
movie
pretty creepy.
I was probably in high school, and it wasn't a movie, it was a TV program. It was called Room
222.
Room 222. And on that program, they were trying to some book from the library in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And the students went and they talked about this. It talks about all these terrible things. They said, yes, we would ban that book from the school too. And they said, we're talking about the Bible.
Bingo. And just to show you.
That really drove home. And as conservative as I am and having the Christian upbringing, you know, sometimes you got to go deeper than just the surface.
Right. Sometimes
you know,
you're so right.
Beauty is only skin deep.
Or in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
That
is exactly what this whole thing is about. And you know, but my is, and I wouldn't want my children. Don't know that if my children were at home, I've discussed it with my now ex-wife. Don't know that I would not, after all, time of the Vietnam War, cannot realize what this nation went through.
Well, you know, you raise a really good point there, and I hate to, I don't mean to cut you off, Kyle, but I did it anyway. You may have gotten to the core of some of the things that make me feel the way I do. I was not an adult during the Vietnam War. I was a very, very impressionable child, and right there, every night, Walter Cronkite or whomever, and those that grainy old, you know, shot film Vietnam footage of the bleeding and the maimed and the wounded, and there's little Bob the child, and he's watching it all, and this is no indictment of my parents. I'm glad they let me watch it. It's the news junkie that I am, but I saw it, and at the same time, you know, every time they opened the doors of the church, I was in the church and I was listening to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And I was listening to the goodness and the peace and the decency of the message of Jesus Christ that was being taught at the time. And then I see this on TV. I think that has a lot to do with the way I am.
Well,
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. We cannot relate what our parents and those people went through in the Second World War. And that's why I think something that need, and I believe Spielberg should have said, okay, you can censor it, you can, you know, pick up the bad stuff. And I was raised in a Christian home.
Anybody who has ever hit their thumb instead of the nail, Kyle, has used that bad language.
Exactly. And I remember one time with my father, about Christian man, never heard a bad word come out of his mouth. He did exactly what you said. He did something, something happened, and man, Christ himself accepted the word.
I know, I know.
It's called being a human being.
Exactly. Well, you're familiar with that movie, A Christmas Story, with Darren McGavin. They run it every... when he goes down to work on the furnace, and of course the narrator, I think that's David... Oh, Gene... Okay. Yeah.
Rick's the expert.
Right. And you know... But anyway, he's down there working on the furnace, and the narrator says, "My father let go a string of dirty words that are still circling the earth to this day." And it's so true. There's a difference between obscenity and content or art, frankly. And you know, if we let them censor out the F-bombs out of Saving Private Ryan, then you know what happens when somebody decides that Michelangelo's David needs a pair of Hanes, you know?
Excuse me.
What happens when Adam on the Sistine ceiling needs a jock strap because somebody is offended? You know, there's no constitutional right not to be offended, Kyle. And one last note, just so you were talking about the Room 222 episode, sticks out the most in my mind. Several years back, and it would be when I was in high school, there were a bunch of these right-wing fanatics who were afraid that we were all going to go to hell. But they had a list of banned books from the library. And this is proof of their extremism. They saw a book, and it made their list. You know, this book has got to be taken out of the public library. We cannot have our children seeing this book. It was a dirty book, Kyle. It was called Making It in the Kitchen with Mary.
I feel scared. It's like tiny.
Did you know your child's asthma attacks can be triggered by things like shower curtains, a blanket, even a teddy bear?
I feel like I'm...
And there are many other things in your home and your child's classroom you may not know about. For the latest information, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Help prevent your child's asthma attacks and avoid the emergency room. Call toll-free 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Or visit www.noattacks.org.
I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. Time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations.
We're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day... it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. Mm. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All rise, this honorable court is now in session.
Please be seated. Defendant shall remain standing. Defendant is before this court today for sentencing, having been previously found guilty of a gun crime by a jury of his peers. Given the severity of this crime, it is the order of this court that the defendant be sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
It attacks the brain, and you might not know what hit you.
It's a stroke, and it can cripple or kill you.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. There's no time to waste.
It could even be a sudden, severe headache without cause.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes.
All make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less...
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right? That's it. Come on, y'all.
Who do we want?
Kenny!
When do we want him?
Now!
Who do we want?
Kenny!
Now, where do we want him?
School!
Who do we want?
Kenny! 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 Kenny!
Kenny!
Kenny!
Kenny!
Kenny!
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk,
my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting.
Know what's good for me?
I can't use the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC. Women and children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Before it's too late, call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. For women, infants, children. To find out more information or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-6-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has... Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsas. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ag Council.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that we'd soon find out was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ag Council.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
You want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you! Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.